Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Monmouth Hawks football with a look back at this past weekend's game and ahead at what's coming up next. Live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch, here's Matt Harmon and Coach Cal on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And as we welcome you in on a Tuesday night here in the West End, Matt Harmon and Kevin Callahan, we get set for another edition of the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Hawks, for the first time in their last three, come off a loss as they opened up Big South play. 18-12, the final score down in Clinton, South Carolina, as Presbyterian able to get their second win in conference play to go to 2-1 in league, 5-3 overall. Monmouth with the loss, falling to 5-2 and 0-1 in the Big South. Very entertaining and well-played game between both teams. And as we discussed last week, kind of pretty much on point. As I say, good evening and welcome to the head coach of Monmouth, Kevin Callahan. Coach, it was certainly a quick game. You know, the tempo of the game, a lot of running, a lot of punting back and forth, not a whole lot of long, sustained drives, good defense from both teams, pretty much what we talked about last week as our preview segment at the end part of the show.
It was, Matt. The game played out exactly how we thought it might in every area except the final score, of course. But, you know, we felt that there was going to be a game with two good defenses on the field, and it was going to be the team that could take advantage of some opportunities and make some breaks for themselves that would come out on top. And I thought that, you know, from the first play of scrimmage when we hit the long pass from Brandon Hill to Neil Sterling for the touchdown in the game's first play, I thought we started the game exactly how we wanted to. We wanted to score quick, get on top, and we did just that. And then we kind of hit a lull there offensively throughout the rest of the first half, and the defense was doing a great job keeping us in it and continuing to give our offense possessions. And then they had a long scoring drive right before halftime that gave them the lead 7-6. But even at the half, we felt very confident. The players were up. They were very confident in what we could do in the second half.
When you think about just the overall back and forth of this game, you know, game plan wise, I would say it definitely was in Presbyterian's favor. When you look at even the final numbers, they had time of possession. There were 15 total punts between the two teams, which nobody wants to punt, even if you are Presbyterian. But they're happy just giving the ball back and forth, keeping it close, which was kind of their game plan going in. And then they were able to come up with a timely touchdown towards the end part of that fourth quarter on a 15-yard quarterback draw with just 53 seconds left. So, you know, for the first time, Coach, and we say almost all season, short of maybe the first half against Duquesne, it was the Monmouth offense that kind of struggled a little bit. Other than that first play, couldn't really find a whole lot of stride. And again, for the first time pretty much all season, was limited in terms of what could be successful during the course of the afternoon.
Well, there's no question about that, Matt. I think the Presbyterian, to their credit, did a good job of disrupting some of the things in the pass game. They gave us some different looks and some different pressures up front, and they really, you know, stacked the box on us and made it difficult to run. Runs where we would normally pick up 7 or 8 yards, we're getting twos and threes, and, you know, we put ourselves in some difficult situations there, and, you know, we've got to be able to do a better job of sustaining and maintaining the run game. And we've got to make sure that we're making plays on the perimeter and clicking in the pass game. And although we did on the first play, I think we kind of got away from some of the things later on. And it may have played into their hands a little bit.
Final numbers offensively for Brandon Hill, 18 of 33 for 236 yards. Did have that one long touchdown on the game's first play, and interception, was sacked twice, so pressure during the course of the afternoon as well. LaVon Chaney, 19 carries for 62 yards. Tough day running the football for him. Monmouth offensively, 287 yards overall. Hawks again lose this one 18-12, final score to Presbyterian. An opportunity coming up this Saturday in the Big South home opener to get back on the winning side. They'll have Charleston Southern at Monmouth Stadium coming at 1 o'clock. We'll save talk for that at the end part of our show. On our show this evening, tight end Hakeem Vallis, safety Kevin Butler, and offensive lineman Hunter McHugh. Just to continue to break this one down a little bit, Coach, you know, obviously some of the success that Monmouth has had in their first six games, even including that Duquesne loss, has come from dictating tempo and dictating even the turnover battle, much of which on Saturday was a problem for Monmouth. We mentioned the time of possession, which was skewed heavily towards Presbyterian, and for the first time, I believe, all year, Monmouth lost the takeover battle with a costly interception at the end of the game and a fumble in the third quarter, in which it seemed like Monmouth was going to have an opportunity to punch one in and go up at what would have been 16-7.
Right, Matt, and both turnovers, you know, were critical to the outcome of the game. And as you said, we're behind in the turnover battle this week for the first time this season. And, you know, the Presbyterian, to their credit, did a good job protecting the ball. We weren't able to strip the ball out and get it on the ground. And they were able to do that in one occasion. It was very big for us. You know, we're on a drive. We appear to be heading in for another score, which would have made this at 16-7 at that point late in the third quarter. Instead, the ball comes out and they get it, and they go down the field and actually get a field goal on that drive. And then after they do score to make the score 18-12, we do get the ball back in pretty decent field position around the 30-yard line. We have all three timeouts remaining, so there was plenty of time to put a drive together and get down the field. And on the first play of that drive, you know, Brandon underthrew a ball down the middle of the field, and it was intercepted.
Is that a quarterback in a situation where you think you have a fifth-year senior, very intelligent player, has played so well during the course of the year, maybe the best quarterback short of Coastal, who has that talented quarterback down there? He's been the best quarterback in the league. Is that just even an experienced guy trying to make a play to try to get down the field in a hurry when he didn't really have to?
I think that's exactly what it was. You know, we had the play. Called. We were trying to get somebody open down the middle. And I think Brandon said, hey, I'm going to get him the ball and let him go make a great catch on it. And, you know, he underthrew it a bit, and they had kind of a guy underneath the receiver and a guy over the top. And he probably didn't need to let that ball go. I know if he had to do it over again, he certainly wouldn't do it. He could have thrown it away, made it second down, and we still had a lot of time to work with.
Top performance offensively for Monmouth, Neil Sterling, who had 7 catches and 136 yards, continuing to climb up the record books in Monmouth football history. Defensively, John Sikowski led the way with 9 total tackles. Another good day for the true freshman, Mike Basile, who had 8. So, you know, Coach, it's always hard to talk about things after a loss, especially in this one where it kind of felt like it was there for the taking a couple of times for this Monmouth squad. And I felt like the mental mindset of this team, and obviously being able to travel and see it from a different angle, the players were certainly ready to play. They were not intimidated by any stretch being in a new situation, a new stadium, playing in a new league. That wasn't, I mean, and I say that because those were some of the questions going into it. It was dubbed media-wise as maybe the biggest question mark short of the first game ever in 93. Many of the tests going into it, the team certainly passed.
We did, and you know, those things, as you mentioned, Matt, weren't a factor at all. Our team was ready to go out and play. We knew it was going to be a very physical game. We knew that the Presbyterian was a very good team, and you know, a lot of people around probably hadn't given them the credit for being as good as they were. And I think we talked on the show last week where, you know, their record against FCS teams was outstanding and only allowing 16 points a game. They had did play a couple of FBS teams in Northern Illinois and who am I thinking?
I have to look it up.
No, I got it. NC State.
NC State.
You know, they those were the only games where they gave away some points there. So they're a team that, you know, had to be reckoned with. But our guys went out and played good football and went toe-to-toe with that team. And as I told our guys in the locker room afterwards, there is no doubt that we belong in the Big South Conference. There is no doubt that we're as good as any team in that league. And you just, like in any level that you play at, you can't make mistakes, or you have to make plays at the critical moments in games.
We talked about this a little bit before we came on the show as we wrap up our first segment. And I was curious to know what the film session is like on Sunday, because obviously there's, I would think, an extreme level of disappointment, because the players I spoke with before getting on the plane and traveling a little bit, they all said the same thing. That was our game. We certainly should have, if not had a right to win that game. We were right there to win it a couple of times. We just, as you said, didn't execute in a couple of different circumstances and situations. So is that an opportunity for coaches to kind of rip in the players a little bit more, or do you almost take a step back a little bit because you realize that you were right there in a tough game?
Well, really, Matt, neither. I mean, our film sessions aren't about ripping in the players. It's about you know, educational. You find teaching moments in the video, things that are going to help them perform better the next time out or the next time that situation comes up. They'll be better prepared to handle it and do things the right way. And that's all we're trying to do in the video sessions is point out things where we could have done things better, whether it's an assignment, whether it's a technique, whatever it might be, and just showing them that, hey, how this play maybe shapes the entire game or shapes the outcome of the game, I should say. So it's an informational type film session where we're just trying to use that as another tool, another teaching tool to help them improve.
Monmouth falls to 5-2 overall. 0-1 in the league. Four games remaining in this 2014 campaign. Presbyterian, maybe one of the surprise teams in the league, as they were picked at the bottom spot going into the preseason poll. 5-3 now and 2-1 in league play. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll make it a 60-second break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our first guest of the night, the tight end senior from Sicklerville, New Jersey. That is Sakeem Vallis, right after this quick pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show.
This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we are back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Matt Horman, Kevin Callahan, as we talk Monmouth football each and every Tuesday from 7 to 8 o'clock here in the spot of the back room at Jack's Goal Line Stand, one of the great spots around the Monmouth University area. And one of the real good stories of the season so far this year has been the emergence of our first guest. He is senior tight end Hakeem Vallis. And I say tight end with a little bit of a smile, Hakeem, as we say good evening to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing good. It is good to see you. And when I say good story, I certainly mean that in the most complimentary way possible, because going into the year at the wide receiver position, I would think that maybe – you weren't 100% sure just how much you would get yourself onto the field. You know, I'm looking at your numbers from your earlier time. Didn't play as a true freshman. Played a little bit as a sophomore on special teams. Played a lot on special teams last year. Bits and pieces of games at wide receiver. And with such a deep and talented group, you had to think, I might not be able to get really on the field in a spot that I'm so comfortable with playing in the wide receiver. What was your mindset before we even make that switch at the tight end spot?
Personally, I felt that I just wanted to find a way to get on the field. It didn't matter where I was playing. I just wanted to help the team out and just contribute. I could have been playing center, right guard, or defensive end, and I would have been happy. But I talked to a couple of my friends. Thad Richards, he was a good mentor throughout the process, and he was like, like tight end would be a really good fit for you. And I was like, I thought about it. Took me a couple days to actually, you know, gain the courage to actually talk to Coach DiMuzio and Coach Gallo, but once it happened, it felt really good.
When you think about that, you know, there was a nice story done, and Josh Newman, who covers Monmouth football and Monmouth athletics from the Asbury Park Press this year, he put together a great feature story during the course of preseason camp about your move. When you say you have to go talk to both position coaches, right? I mean, you start with the wide receiver coach and TJ DiMuzio, and he gives a blessing, I'm assuming?
Yeah, he did. He was very accepting of the choice and the decision.
And then it's to Coach Gallo saying, is it okay if I come over and start working with the tight ends?
Yeah, and he was pretty happy. He was excited. He said, it's going to be a hard time. It's going to be the hardest thing you ever did. And I was like, I accept the challenge.
Coach, take us through that process a little bit more from a coaching vantage point.
Well, what Hakeem probably doesn't know is that conversation was had long before Hakeem ever brought it up to Coach DiMuzio. And from our standpoint as a coaching staff, what we're trying to do is find a way for every player on our roster to make their way on the end of the field, or onto the field. We don't want to have anybody in a position where they view it as a dead end, where they view it as there's no light at the end of the tunnel where I can play. And so if a guy has the physical abilities to potentially help us in another area, and we've done this many times over the years, we might suggest a move to him. It just so happens that while our conversation was going on, Hakeem was having the same thoughts. He broached Coach DiMuzio with it, and TJ came back to me and said, what do you think? I said, yeah, I think it's great. Let's go with it. And then he talked to Coach Gallo. So Coach Gallo was on board even before you got to him. He knew you were coming, as a matter.
And it was kind of a position of need at the time as well. You know, you think Zach Fable, who's coming off of an injury, he wasn't 100%, or probably still isn't 100% at this point of the year, wasn't even participating in preseason camp at all. And the numbers, Coach, pretty thin at tight end. So if you have a guy who has the body type to do it, 6'5", 235, 240, which is Hakeem, is listed out at the roster, it almost kind of made sense because you could have used the number over there.
It made a lot of sense. It was certainly from the numbers and the depth standpoint that you point out there, Matt, but also from an athletic standpoint, taking a more athletic body and putting him into a position where that athleticism will now become an advantage for him. You know, it makes us better on offense. You know, the biggest hurdle that Hakeem had to face was learning all the blocking stuff in the tight quarters where he blocked on the perimeter as a receiver. As Hakeem will tell you, blocking as a tight end
it's
a lot different. I mean, you're a foot and a half removed from being an offensive tackle is what you are. And so you've got to learn all those techniques and things. And to Hakeem's credit, he's done a fabulous job of picking everything up, of not only the mental aspect of the position, but also the physical part of it and developing into an excellent blocker there.
How comfortable, Hakeem, now do you feel 7 games into it? How comfortable do you feel at that position right now?
I feel very comfortable. You know, Coach Gallo, you know, he's taught me through the entire process, and Zach Fable, you know, he's throughout this whole tight end process, he's become one of my best friends, and, you know, we hang out every single day, and he just helped it become a lot more easier.
That's one of the things I think that's a credit to the guys throughout our program, throughout our team, is that, you know, they're there for each other. They're going to help each other out, whether you see it in a position where an older player or senior is looking out and helping a freshman with the transition into college football, or it's somebody moving to a new position and that new position group, you know, opening their arms and welcoming him into that position and kind of giving them that, not looking at it as a competition for their own playing time, but looking at it as a way that, to make our team better and helping that new player with the adjustment and the transition to the new spot.
All right, so what Coach just said, Hakeem, has makes me think of two things. First, when you told Coach DeMuzio what you wanted to do, and you had some encouragement from Thaddeus Richards, one of the senior leaders, after the decision is made that you can go from wide receiver to tight end, did wide receivers kind of start to bust on you a little bit, like you're not one of us anymore?
Yeah, they tend to bust on me all the time because I'm still, you know, best friends with all of them as well. And, you know, they'll be going to sit somewhere in the diner, like, oh, no, you can't sit with us. You know, you're not a wide receiver anymore.
Yeah, he had to change buses. He had no longer.
Yeah,
no longer
buses, too.
Now he's on bus one. He used to be on bus two.
Yeah.
How about the guys in the tight end spot? I mean, when you first came over there, were there any guys looking at you cross-eyed like, hey, well, you're in the wrong spot. We don't even know what you're doing here.
Nah,
go back with the prima donna section over on the other side of the field.
Sometimes they make jokes, you know, especially at the beginning when I was getting really beat around. Those first couple of days in the transitional process, they'll make some jokes and stuff like that. But they're all cool. We all hang out. We're all pretty much best friends.
So let's talk about your role in the offense so far this year. 11 catches on the season, 111 yards, just about 10 yards per catch, a couple of touchdowns in there as well. You know, what Coach had said, obviously, is something that is pretty unique to your spot. You're listed as a tight end, but you still stand up a lot. You know, when you get in that tight trips formation on one side or even split out as a slot receiver, you are the tight end, which means you're probably going to draw a linebacker in a lot of times and a lot of cases in coverage. You're 6'5", 235 pounds, and you can run like a wide receiver, but playing a tight end, you almost must be looking across the line saying, man, I'm gonna eat you up in pass coverage, right? Because you have such an advantage in two ways, size and speed, against a lot of the guys that you play.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And I think it does help the offense and help, you know, distract the defense a little bit, especially when they split me out. You know, sometimes you'll hear across the ball, like, 80's over there. He split out. And just a whole bunch of confusion, which I guess kind of helps our offense.
Well, one of the things it does as well, Matt, is that, you know, when opposing defenses are going to put their substitution packages on the field, they look at it as, all right, is there a tight end in the game? We have a tight end in the game, but he's a tight end that we can use in multiple ways. As you had mentioned, we can split him out, and that creates some mismatches. And does a linebacker walk out there with him, or does a corner cover him because he's the widest guy in the formation? When that happens, that means a safety or a linebacker may be matched up with one of our receivers who's in an inside of line position. So there's an awful lot of different things we can do and that we have been doing with it. And Hakeem's athleticism makes it much easier to do those things.
Talk about, you have two of them now on the year, but I want to know what you were thinking after you caught that first touchdown pass. I mean, getting the first catch is one thing, but getting the first touchdown reception is a whole other thing, I would imagine, as a football player at any level, whether you play Pop Warner, you score your first one, high school, you score your first one, college, you score your first one. What did it feel like?
It was an awesome feeling. It's actually funny because we ran that same play during the Delaware State game before, and Brandon didn't throw me the ball. And I told him about it. I said, I was wide open in the end zone in that play. We didn't score, but I was wide open. And he saw it on film. He was like, wow, you were wide open. And then same exact play. Scored on it. It was pretty cool.
See, you know, he still has the wide receiver mentality.
That's what I was just going to say. That's what I was just going to say, Matt. You know, he's still got a little bit of the receiver in him. There has never been a receiver on this earth who's come back to the huddle and said, I was covered on that play. Don't throw it to me. They're always wide open
always
in their own mind.
Yeah.
How do you feel like Hakeem, and we're talking with Senior Hakeem Vallis here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. What do you feel like over the course of the next four games? What's Hakeem Vallis have to do to continue to get better and continue to be a pretty big part of this Monmouth offense?
Definitely got to stay on film. Stay on film. You know, you got to know your opponent. The more you watch film, you know, the more human these, you know, opponents become. And just got to keep working hard in practice. You know, a different thing that we've done this year is our practices are so up-tempo. They're different. It's like a different atmosphere out there. And as long as we just keep practicing hard, you know, in game situations up and down the field, I think we'll be fine these next four games.
You know, to Hakeem's credit, Matt, he's done a fabulous job of coming along as a blocker. And that was probably the question, if there was one big question when he made the move to the position, was how well will he be able to block and how quickly will he learn that blocking techniques. And I know that Coach Gallo's worked very hard with him and stayed on him about doing things exactly right. And he's really become a very effective blocker. And that's something that I know he's still continuing to work on. You know, that first step is so important. Where you put that first step down as Hakeem's learning, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel? I mean, physically, how do you feel? You know, are you more beat up than you would be at this point of the year?
It's a lot different in the trenches down there. You know, my feet hurt, my fingers hurt, but it's just a part of the game.
You're playing football.
No,
you're playing football.
As a receiver, we were prima donnas out there. I must admit it.
Well, I've enjoyed watching you kind of emerge into the offense, and with four games left and some big games on the schedule too. You know, you are a guy who's a senior on this football team, so coming off of a loss last week in which you guys had several opportunities to pull that game out against Presbyterian, talk to me about the mindset of the team early on in the week now on Tuesday. How quickly can you close the door on that and now look ahead to Charleston Southern on Saturday?
I think the guys bounced back pretty fast. After that loss, it hurt. You know, it hurt everybody a lot, especially if you were impact that game or small impact of that game. If you were just watching that game, it hurt to take that loss. But I feel like by Sunday, once we get that next practice in us and we start to focus up on Charleston Southern, I think the guys have all bounced back, and our mindset is it's time to take this week and just make it happen.
And I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, Hakeem, but, Matt, you know, guys can't afford to take more than 24 hours to think about the previous game. There's too much to be done. There's too much preparation. Because if your mind is on last week's game, whether it's a win or a loss, it's going to take away from your preparation for this week's game. And, you know, we have a saying that you don't want to let the same opponent beat you twice. Beat you when they played you, and then to be lingering on that game so long that it takes away from your ability to win the next one.
Hakeem, it's been a pleasure having you on the show here tonight. Continued success the last four games. It has been one of the real nice stories to kind of follow. You're doing a great job at the spot, and continued success the rest of the year.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
That's Hakeem Vallis so far with 11 catches, 2 touchdown receptions on the year. We'll step out, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some defense with sophomore Kevin Butler, who anchors part of that back four for MU. Do it after this quick 60-second pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show.
Back to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
Monmouth defense right now, number 2 in the Big South in total defense, 342 yards per game, 2nd out of the 6 teams in the league, right behind Charleston Southern. The opponent this week that Monmouth will have to deal with, who will come in boasting one of the league's top offenses, and looking forward to spending a couple minutes here with sophomore safety from Piscataway, New Jersey, Kevin Butler, who's good enough to give us some time on the show tonight. Mr. Butler, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you. And I want to jump right into it because, you know, I feel like from last year to this year and a guy who had such a good, successful high school career like you did, which we can talk about a little bit, you come in last year and you get some time playing at the safety spot, a lot of special teams work. But to me, from last year to this year, you just seem to be a completely different guy, much more confident on the field. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes, I would agree with that.
When you think about the steps that you had to take in order to make that jump, you know, so much learning probably during the course of the freshman season. As you get to be a sophomore, everything just becomes that much easier.
Yeah, I would say every game I got in, I think I got better, and it helped me out a lot in transition to this year. I took step by step. I learned the defense. It's a lot for the safeties. You make a lot of calls in the defense. You have to get the whole defense on the same page. And I took that step by step to learn it, and I feel like that paid off this year.
Coach, you know, that's something that you and I have talked about. Anytime we've had a guy on in the secondary who plays at the safety spot, going from any level, you know, whether they're a freshman who plays to a fifth-year senior when we had Andrew Sutton on during the course of the last couple of years, you have always stressed just how intelligent and smart the guys have to be that play the safety spot because so much is expected of them.
That's true, Matt. I mean, they have to be in tune to what's going on, but they have to have a great knowledge not only of our scheme but how it relates to different offenses. There's so many variables in the secondary, and our safeties control everything. They control the edge of the defense, the run support, what type of force we're playing. They control the rotation of the four defensive backs, which way we're tilted if we have a tilt in there. They have to communicate that. And if something changes on the offense by way of motion or a shift or whatever it is, the safeties are the ones that has to get everybody realigned and make all those calls over again. There's a lot of nuances to it, and they have to have a really good understanding of what's going on and almost anticipate those things happening before they actually happen.
Kevin, tell me, I mean, that sounds like a lot. Between your explanation and coach's explanation, somewhere in there I got my head cluttered and lost. You have to do it with pads on, with guys running at you full speed, with you running at guys full speed. How difficult is that process playing safety to mama defense?
It's pretty difficult. It took a while to understand, but I stayed in the playbook, and I was able to understand the defense better and better as time went on.
Yeah, Kevin's made really good progress, you know, just – you know, looking back to last year when he came in and kind of had a little bit of an idea, and as you said, it was a big contributor on a number of different special teams to where he was in spring practice, and he took a major step from the end of last season to spring practice, and then again from spring practice to the fall preseason practice, and I think it really started coming together for him probably toward the end of spring practice last year, and then he continued along that track as we got into August.
Fourth on the team in tackles this year with an interception that took place in the win over Robert Morris. You know, Kevin, you strike me as a guy that is pretty good in pass coverage, for sure, but as a guy who loves to come up and play the run game, you know, and you got a big smile on your face as I say that. Do you consider yourself one of those safeties who is more of a run stopper type guy?
Yeah, I feel like I'm very physical. I like to hit. I like to knock people down, so I would consider myself one of like a hard-hitting safety.
One of the things that jumped off Kevin's high school tape during the recruiting process was his physicality and how much he seemed to enjoy the contact. I still remember watching, you know, Kevin when he was playing at Piscataway and seeing the way in which that he approached the game and the way that he seemed to enjoy playing defense and enjoyed the physicality of it. And it's one of the things that always stood out with me about him.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, and I think in prep for the show tonight and reading your bio in a little bit more detail, which I've done before, but just to kind of brush up on it, you played linebacker in high school, didn't you? More than you did in the secondary.
Yes, I did, and I feel like that made me more physical and made me a better tackler now that I'm in the secondary.
Now, Coach, how do you take a guy who plays linebacker in high school and say, okay, you know what, you're going to be the perfect guy to play safety for us at the collegiate level? Because it seems like it could be an easier transition if you played safety and actually walked up and played linebacker than the reverse.
It is. I think particularly in college, it's always easier to move from further away from the ball to closer to the ball. A corner can become a safety who could become a linebacker. Linebackers become defensive ends, and that's kind of the normal progression. But when you look at a high school player, you have to remember that in high schools, people put their players where they can have the biggest impact on the game. It may not be the position that they're perfectly suited for on the next level, but they want to have a big impact on the game, and so they take their best players and they position them where they can. in high school, you want to take your better hitters, your more aggressive run defenders, and make sure they're lining up at the linebacker spot. Why have one of those guys at a corner or a safety when maybe teams in high school aren't throwing the ball all that much and you want to get them closer to the action? But we saw enough athleticism in Kevin that knew he could make, or we felt he could make the transition to safety without a doubt. He had to learn to go backwards a little bit, and he's still perfecting some techniques there, but it's been a very smooth transition for him.
And, you know, one of the interesting things, Kevin, that I find about this season, with you being the starter at one safety spot, all of a sudden you become the veteran guy out of the back two. You know, I know some guys rotate in and out of there in different spots, but starting, you know, since day one of the season, it's been you as a sophomore and Mike Basile as a freshman. And I know he's an intelligent player and has picked things up pretty quick, but I'm sure every once in a while he looks to you as the guy who needs to be the leader of the two of you guys in the back.
Yeah, we have a very young secondary, but we're very talented, I feel like. And Mike's a smart guy, so is Marcus, who's a true freshman corner for us. And, of course, Joe Johnson, he's our
He's like grandpa back there, right?
Yeah, he's our older guy. So, yeah, I feel like I'm a veteran in the group.
You know, Matt, both these guys, as you mentioned, Mike Basile and certainly Kevin, you know, they kind of prove my theory wrong, where I've always said that in our scheme it takes at least 2 years to feel really comfortable at the safety position. And here we have one guy who's a few months out of high school playing on one side and another guy that's in his second year playing opposite him at safety. But, you know, they've both been able to make the transition to college football from high school very quickly. They both are very quick learners, and the learning the position was a quick study for them, and they've been able to bring the physicality that the position needs.
Kevin, what did you learn? And Kevin Butler, the outstanding starting safety for the Monmouth defense, giving us some time here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Offensive lineman Hunter McHugh to follow before Coach and I wrap it up with a little preview of Charleston Southern. Tell me what you thought about the first game in the Big South last week against Presbyterian. You know, and when I say what did you feel like, was it a different type of game than what you guys had seen in the prior six?
I would say they were a very physical team. They were a fast team, and they didn't quit. We kept going back and forth. Our defense good 3-and-out. Their defense good 3-and-out. So I feel like they were a very competitive team, and it was fun playing that game.
You know, in a game like that, does the defense feel some pressure? I mean, you just have to look at the numbers, and having been at the game, see it live and in person, it was a day that, you know, for the first time, as Coach and I discussed, the offense struggled a little bit. So the defense now had to rise to the occasion, of which you guys did several times. But, you know, in our opening segment, Coach and I talked about just a couple of mistakes here and there. That might be the other difference. You know, I mean, not that you can survive with mistakes against other teams, but in some of these games against the Big South teams, if you make a mistake or two, you probably won't survive.
Yeah. We didn't feel much pressure. We knew that they had a good defense, too, so we knew it was going to be a low-scoring game. And we have faith in our offense. We knew they could put up some points. So I felt like we didn't have that much pressure, but we knew it was going to be a close game, a physical game, so...
And it was just that. And to your point, Matt, one of the things that I talked with the team about on Sunday is that how as you play better competition, the more mistakes are magnified. And good teams take advantage of every little thing that you give them. And if you make a mistake, a good team is going to capitalize on it. And as we move forward through the remainder of the Big South schedule, we've got to remember that we've got to be on our game. We've got to be able to execute, because the people that we're playing – we'll take advantage of mistakes if we make them.
Kevin, you know, I asked Hakeem, who was on the segment prior to you, what it was like for him to catch that first touchdown pass at the collegiate level for you. Robert Morris, you get that interception during the course of the game. What's that feel like for you, especially as a guy who's got a couple more years to go in your collegiate career?
It was a great feeling. I haven't felt that since high school, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I celebrated with my teammates. And it was a good feeling.
Picked off by Butler sounded good when I said it on the radio. Long return there as well. I think it went for 40 yards, showing some of the old running back skills that you used to have there as well. Tell me what you're looking forward to the last four games. I know each and every time you want to get out there and play one at a time, but do you feel like this is a Monmouth team that can bounce back off that loss from last week and kind of push ahead now against Charleston Southern?
Definitely. I think we'll do it. I have a lot of faith in our team, our guys. I think we're all competitive. We're physical players, and I know we'll get it done.
Kevin, pleasure having you on the show here tonight. Continued success the rest of the year. Great job, and it was nice to spend a couple minutes with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Kevin.
That's Kevin Butler, outstanding starting safety for Monmouth. We'll take one more timeout when we come back. Be joined by one of the guys up front, outstanding offensive lineman Hunter McHugh. We'll do that after this quick pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we are back here on a Tuesday night at Jack's Goal Line standing in the West End in our final player segment of the night. Good enough to get a couple minutes here with offensive lineman Hunter McHugh, who hails from Claymont, Delaware. Hunter, good to see you again. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You know, I want to ask you first about just how you're feeling, because I am amazed by you as a player in that in the middle of that Wagner game, you go out, you finish the game with, you know, a big club basically on your hand. You have to go get surgery, but yet here you are a couple of games removed from that, back on the field. Just overall, how do you feel?
I'm actually feeling a lot better now. Just got the cast off, you know, earlier this week. So everything's going well as far as recovery. I'm feeling a lot healthier, feeling a lot more effective, getting a second hand back, you know. So.
Well, it's probably good to have two hands as opposed to one, especially the offensive line spot. You're always trying to grab whatever you can grab of those guys.
Right.
You know, and it was kind of interesting to think when you hurt that in that game in the first half, you go in. Was there even a thought in your mind that you're not going to go out in the second half? Because you had surgery, I believe, either Sunday or Monday immediately after the game, right?
Earlier that week, yeah. And there, honestly, it was a tight game versus Wagner at that point. I kind of knew the play that I broke it. I kind of knew. I went to the sideline before the second half, and halftime they did an x-ray, told me it was broken, and I said, too close of a game, you know. I mean, I had to be out there with the team, you know. So.
And then the next couple of games after that, you know, you who had earned a starting spot for yourself in the spring and in the preseason, you start one, you start two, you finish that game out. Now all of a sudden you got to sit. I would have to think that's very frustrating for you.
Oh, absolutely, especially that tough game against Duquesne. It was tough to sit home and watch that. You know, that was very shortly after surgery. So that game and then missing Lehigh, a good part of Lehigh, was tough. But ultimately the win at Lehigh was all that mattered. So,
you know, Coach, is Hunter a guy who's in his third year in the program, didn't play as a freshman, saw a couple of games last year? Is he kind of the prototypical pattern for an offensive lineman? Come in, get acclimated to college, get a little bit bigger, get a little bit stronger, try and work yourself into the lineup, and now it seems like he's a guy who's pretty much a mainstay in that front five.
Ideally, that would be how it works, Matt. I mean, what that would signify is that you have older guys in your program who are experienced, who are ready to play, and as you come in and kind of learn the position as a freshman and then as a sophomore, you kind of get better at your skills and the techniques that you need to be successful at the position, and then by your third year you're ready to go out and play. Sometimes that doesn't work out like that. Sometimes we're forced to put somebody in before that, and you have to live with maybe some of the mistakes that they'll make mentally because they're not quite have the playbook down pat, or some of the mistakes physically because they haven't quite perfected the techniques that they need yet.
Back at the top of the rankings, Monmouth maintaining at the total offense for the Big South, over 462 yards per game, top scoring offense in the league as well for 39 points. And Hunter, obviously a lot of success for this team early on in the year in the first six games. Two games of over 50, one game of over 60, tons of yards in a lot of those games. 500 yards was pretty easy, not easy, but it became more of the norm. And then you run into Presbyterian on Saturday where things kind of get a little bit more difficult, hard to run the ball, hard to find a rhythm offensively. Just take myself and the rest of our listening audience through that process, because you guys had so much success, and not that you're not used to adversity, but for the first time in a long time, things were a lot harder to come by.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we knew as a unit, as an offensive line going in against Presbyterian, that they were going to be very sound, and they may not have had the biggest guys up front, but we knew that it was going to be probably the most sound and most effective defense we were going to face for this year. And so going into that game plan, we knew that we would have to play mistake free, and unfortunately there were some things here and there that kind of kept us from getting the ball rolling and really racking up points and yards like we did in the first six games of the season. But you know, we're on film and watching the game, and we're studying, and we're trying to bounce back from that now. So
what are the biggest things that, as you watch film in that game against Presbyterian, where maybe in the first six games you didn't have to make all the corrections that you did after the Presbyterian game, what are the things that kind of stood out the most in that loss to Presbyterian?
I think that having everybody playing effectively 100% every play. You know, it's 11 guys got to do their job every play. And, you know, there's some plays that they were good defense and they made plays because maybe there were some times that we kind of were confused at some looks they were giving us. You know, I mean, it was our first time playing them, and so it was kind of a whole new thing that we were kind of unprepared. Not unprepared, but they were giving us new looks, you know, that we haven't seen before.
You know, Matt, I would agree with that. I think that, you know, Hunter hit it right on the head. When you play against better competition, everybody performing at the same high level on every play is much more critical. When you play somebody who maybe is not quite as talented or is quite as good, four of the five guys in the offensive line can do something right, and if one guy breaks down, we can still get a positive play out of that. But when you play good people, who, as Hunter pointed out, are very sound technically, they fit their gaps, they don't make mistakes, they're a physical, quick team, everybody's got to be right on for it to work. And we always talk in the offensive line about five guys working as one. Well, that's never been more true than when you play a very good defensive front.
Hunter, when you think about it, you're one of the, I think, only two guys, if memory serving me correct, from Delaware. Does that sound right, Coach?
Yeah,
two or three?
Two. Me and Eric, someone.
Yeah, I think it's just the two of you, right? Yeah, that's who I had in my head. How does a guy from Delaware find his way up to Monmouth? You know, it seems like there's been that niche to Maryland for a long time for Monmouth. What about for Delaware?
Yeah, I think that coming out of high school, you know, I wasn't the biggest guy, you know, and I was kind of looking for somebody who's going to give me an opportunity to let them see what I can do when I get on the field, you know, and give me a couple years to put on some weight, put on some strength. And so that's kind of what I was looking for, and I had an awesome opportunity in Monmouth. You know, I got my first letter from them and come up to a camp here and then just went from there. I mean, getting up to on campus and getting out to games, it was just it seemed right.
Well, it's part of a good story for sure, and I always like reading this about guys from a student athlete perspective, and I'll stress the student for you. I know you were part of the academic honor roll when Monmouth was in the NEC 2 years ago. Couldn't really do any of that stuff as an independent last year, and I know it was something that was real important to you in high school. Still a business administration major?
Yeah, absolutely.
And academics obviously real important to you.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of something I pride myself on coming out of high school and into college, you know, and so everything's still going well academically.
And Matt, I can tell you that, you know, Hunter, he takes football extremely seriously, but he also takes his academics and his education very seriously. And, you know, he's an outstanding performer in the classroom, as you know, and he's garnered some recognition for some of the things he's been able to do. But he's at the top of our team, or one of the guys at the top of our team, each and every semester when it comes down to the GPAs.
Hunter, tell me a little bit about the game this week before we let you go. Charleston Southern, pretty highly regarded going into the year. They've gone through some struggles over the course of the last couple weeks, but still a talented football team who will have to make their first trip to New Jersey and play Monmouth here in West Long Branch. When you watch and look at them at film, what kind of defense are they?
I mean, they'll kind of surprise you. They'll give you some three down, some four down. You know, it's early in the week, so as we get to see the film a little more throughout the week and we get to studying what they're going to be doing, we'll get a better grasp. I think right now that after today's practice and coming off of this weekend, that we feel pretty prepared. And I think it's going to be another tough game against another good Big South opponent. But I think them coming up here, we got cold and rainy this weekend, so maybe that'll play in our favor a little
bit. And you
bit.
Guys up front don't mind cold and rainy,
not
right?
At all.
You'd
not
rather that. I mean, probably last Saturday, you're like, oh, boy, it's hot down here.
Yeah, it was a little warm down there, right?
Well, cold and rainy is what it exactly is supposed to be. I want to thank you for coming by and giving us a couple minutes here on the show. We'll let you go before Coach and I kind of wrap it up. Continued success, obviously, for the rest of the year, and keep everything healthy
awesome.
Inside.
Thank you, Matt.
That
Thanks,
is
Hunter
Thanks, McHugh, outstanding junior offensive lineman for Monmouth, who has led the Hawks to such a great start offensively, trying to get back to that a little bit this week. Coach and I, with the next couple of minutes to wrap things up, talk about Charleston Southern, Coach, in detail. You know, Hunter gave us a little bit of a scouting report, and from what I've heard on their defensive side, pretty much multiple looks, an attack-type defense who likes to blitz in a lot of different ways.
They are. They're very aggressive on the defensive side. You know, they're – their game plan is always to take the run away from you, get you into a passing situation, and then be able to come at you with a variety of different blitzes. And as Hunter said, they'll mix between a three down and a four down front, which is a bit of a learning curve for the offensive linemen because they could see different blitzes and different pressures out of each. So we're going to have to be really on top of what we're doing. They're very athletic on the defensive side. They run extremely well. And so when you combine that with the different looks they're going to give you and, you know, how they're going to be aggressive and come after you, you know, that's quite a challenge that we're going to have.
All right, so let's flip sides. I know on offense they pride themselves on the run game. One of the few teams I feel like now that still kind of run the triple option, which is unique because what used to be such a mainstay in college football, no one really does it anymore. Everyone's in the spread attack. So when you come across a team, it's a lot of relearning assignment type football.
It is, and it's the first true option team that we've seen in a number of years. And so there's a bit of a learning curve there for our players on defense. They use a lot of different formations. They run the option just about every way imaginable. They will throw it, though, and they've done a pretty good job throwing it. I know in last week's game in Coastal Carolina in the second half, the quarterback had a very good day throwing the ball. So, you know, we've got to be very sound in what we do is always when you play an option team, and we've got to make sure that we have all three phases of the option covered and that we're not leaving anything to chance and that we're very disciplined in what we do on defense.
A team that had good success last year, maybe took the league by surprise a little bit, and going into this season had high expectations and got off to a great start. 5-0 to begin, a win in August and 4 in September, but they weren't able to taste victory at all in October. And I know they had a tight loss against Vandy, which is an FBS school, but a loss to Presbyterian and a loss to Coastal Carolina in the league. When you go a whole month, Coach, without a win, you know, you wonder just kind of what mindset a team has when they have to make a road trip.
Well, I realize that, Matt, and I think that, you know, they're a good team. They're a well-coached team. And, you know, we talk about their record. They got off to 4 consecutive wins to begin the season. Then they played Vanderbilt and lost a 1-point game, and it was a game that they really were driving for the winning score at the end of the game, but had an unfortunate penalty call that set them back, and they never did get in the end zone. But to lose 21-20 at Vanderbilt, an SEC school, is quite an accomplishment for anybody on the FCS level. Their other losses to Presbyterian, who I think arguably may have one of the best defenses in the Big South, as we saw firsthand last week, a very physical, very fast, very disciplined unit who hasn't given up very many points to anybody. And then their other loss is to Coastal Carolina, the defending Big South champion, a team that went deep into the playoffs a year ago, a team that's currently 7-0 and really got it rolling right now. So their losses have come to good people, and, you know, we want to make sure that they continue that trend and that this is another loss this weekend.
Coach, real quick, in probably about 30 seconds, the mindset of your team coming off of a loss for the first time in a month, now pushing forward to Saturday.
The word I would use is hungry, Matt. You know, we're disappointed a little bit that we didn't get the win last week because we thought it was one that we had earned and we're in position to take. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way, but that's not going to deter us as we move forward. This is another Big South game, and we're looking to get our first Big South win on Saturday.
Coach, as always, appreciate you putting the show together. The guys tonight were outstanding. We'll see you on Saturday afternoon.
Thanks, Matt.
Hakeem Vallis, Kevin Butler, Hunter McHugh, all doing a great job tonight. Harrison Strevin's back in the studios. Hawks back at home on Saturday against Charleston Southern. 1 o'clock kickoff. We're on the air at 12:45. For Coach Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon saying so long from Jack's Goal Line Stand. You've been listening to the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch and talk Hawks football. For more on Monmouth football, visit www.monmouthhawks.com.